Hello, everybody out there in the digital and social media marketing world of sports. As always, I'm your host, Neil Horwitz, and you are listening to the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at NJH287 and get more information as well as other content and previous podcasts on the website of the podcast at dsmsports.net. Really psyched for today's show. We are talking to the Assistant Director for Strategic Communications for the Mountain West Conference, Katie Cavender. She is very articulate, very thoughtful, and in a really exciting position in a conference that always has a great basketball reputation, is coming off a fantastic football season, including a Fiesta Bowl win for Boise State. And we're going to talk a lot with her about how the Mountain West has really been pioneering a lot in the digital and social worlds, coming all the way back to when the Mountain West Network was around on digital and even television, before you even started hearing about the SEC Network and the like. But before we get to our conversation with Katie, we have this episode's helpful tool. And this episode's helpful tool has a pretty set use, and it's really easy, but also really helpful. And it's a free downloadable tool off the internet called Free Scan to PDF. It's a desktop tool which you'll download, and it's an easy way to turn JPEGs or a set of JPEGs or any sort of image file or a scan into a PDF for easy sharing and something you can make look professional in seconds. So whether you have a bunch of JPEGs that you've been collecting, screen caps, especially if you're working with fan-generated content, and you want to set it up in an easy-to-transport format, whether it's to show to contest judges or your superiors or to pass along to clients, Free Scan to PDF can instantly spit out a PDF for you from any collection of JPEGs or screen caps or anything of the like, or anything you scan. And if you put it in the proper order, it'll be right there in a nice little PDF for you, and you can print it out, share it, have whatever you want to do with it. I have found it incredibly helpful, especially when curating content. And I think we will too. So check it out. It's completely free. That's why it is called Free Scan to PDF. And that is this episode's helpful tool. Hope you find a little use for it yourself. All right. With that, we'll be right back with a great conversation I really think you're going to enjoy with the Assistant Director for Strategic Communications with the Mountain West Conference, Katie Cavender. Coming right back. All right, that was this episode's helpful tool. It's called Free Scan to PDF, a great way to just turn a bunch of images into a shareable PDF that you can post online. I post a lot of stuff on SlideShare. It's a really great tool, especially if you're working with a bunch of screenshots, which happens a lot in social and digital. And that is something that our guest today knows plenty about. We are very pleased to be welcoming Katie Cavender, Assistant Commissioner for Strategic Communications for the Mountain West Conference. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, and welcome, Katie.
Thanks, Neil. It's great to be here. It's like they say in talk radio, you know, first time participant, but long time listener. I appreciate you having me.
We love hearing that, and we are so happy to have a great conversation. So Katie, did you work a lot with a lot of screenshots, and would a tool like Free Scan to PDF ever come into play for you?
Yeah, you know, I would definitely use that. I actually, when I'm not working in strategic communications for the Mountain West, I also spend a lot of time assisting with the graduate program. I have my degree in at the University of Washington, assisting them with their communications and marketing course, and definitely do a lot of slide sharing, things like that. So I'm definitely going to be downloading that app. I'm excited to check it out.
Excellent. As if you don't have enough going on, you're helping out, you know, UW on the side. Jeez.
Yeah. It's a fun way to stay connected to campus, that's for sure.
Definitely. Well, we'd love to hear about your past as well as an athlete. And before we jump into the meat of the interview, we'd like to get to know all of our guests. And we have a great interview coming up with you today, Katie. So before we get started, just give our listeners an idea of where you come from, how you come up in the game, getting started playing athletics and working in athletics and getting to where you are today, and any tips and learnings along the way for our listeners.
Great. This may be a little bit long-winded. My story is a little complicated, but it may help shine some light on how I got to the desk I'm sitting in now. So I am originally from the best small town in America. Elko, Nevada is actually, there was a book written and was actually called The Best Small Town in America, so I like to shout that out any opportunity I can. Was definitely as a small town, was definitely heavily involved in athletics all through grade school, junior high, high school, played volleyball and basketball all through those years, and also wrote on the side for an online publication that covered high school athletics throughout the state of Nevada called Nevada Prep at that time, which really grew my interest in writing and in combining my love of sport with a skill that I had. And so that's kind of how I thought maybe I'll look into getting into journalism school. So in 2001, I enrolled in the Reynolds School of Journalism at the University of Nevada. There I kind of was lucky enough to study a combination of various different fields. So the journalism school at that time had folks could focus on print media, folks could focus on public relations, they could focus on advertising, they could focus on broadcasting, and I was able to go non-sequence and kind of combine all of those various areas, into a degree for myself, which I really enjoyed, and it's funny as my career has progressed on how much I've really leaned on all of those areas from, gosh, more than 10 years ago. I hate to say that and admit that, but it's true. It's been quite a while since I was in college. So an opportunity when I was an undergrad, an opportunity presented itself to intern in the media relations office for Wolfpack Athletics. So I helped with skiing media relations, and I helped with men's basketball and a whole bunch of other things. And that opportunity actually grew further, and I was able to get on as a student assistant throughout the entire athletic department for the remainder of my time. So I was lucky enough to work almost as a full-time employee for the athletic department for 3 years before I even had my degree, which is experience that I will value and cherish always. So I worked in media relations, and then I also helped with marketing and promotions. We started our first student fan group that year. It was called the Blue Crew at that time, and we had 1,000 students join in our first year, which we were super proud of, and I was a key developer of that. I helped in special events and fundraising, and then I even helped in equipment and ticketing. So getting my hands in all of those various areas kind of grew the bug and the passion for athletics, and kind of opened my eyes to not only applying my skill set of writing in athletics, but to kind of be behind the scenes and use those skills to help get games out there, to get special events out there, to build buzz for them, etc. So I graduated in 2005 with my journalism degree, and from there I was fortunate enough, I was hired by the then Pac-10 conference for a year-long public relations internship there, which was great. I was the main media relations contact for Pac-10 baseball, which is huge. I was an assistant on Pac-10 men's basketball and Pac-10 volleyball, which is also huge. It was a great experience to transition my thought process from the institutional level more toward the conference level of things. And one of the biggest highlights for me that year was the Pac-10 at that time ran the media operation for the Rose Bowl. And so the year of my internship was the 2006 Rose Bowl game, which was the Texas-USC National Championship. Oh, yeah. Which was unbelievable, and to be from the best small town of America and kind of transition to arguably one of the biggest spotlights in college athletics in short order, really in 5 years since I graduated from high school, was really eye-opening for me, and it really confirmed that this is where I want to be, and made me really thirsty for it and then excited for it. So my internship concluded that spring of 2006. There was an opportunity and an opening with the Mountain West at that time. They were hiring for a webmaster. I was super excited for it. I prepared for it. I actually had a presentation. I pulled an all-nighter. I did a whole presentation on things I would do to change and recommendations I had for the Mountain West as part of my interview. I was flown out as a finalist. I had a great time with everyone. I got back to California, where I was wrapping my internship up, and I learned that the other finalist was selected for the job.
Aww.
Which was super eye-opening for me. It was a great learning experience for me to kind of reflect and examine what skills I needed, what areas I needed to grow, which ways I could make myself more marketable. So once that happened, I actually moved, once my internship was over in California, I actually moved up to Boise, where my brothers were offensive linemen at the time for Boise State. And that year, they were actually preparing for, it was their senior season, and they were actually preparing for what would end up being the 2007 Fiesta Bowl year against Oklahoma that everyone sure remembers. And it's actually funny, my brothers and my family joined me during my Pac-10 internship for the national championship game with Texas and USC, and we just all were like, well, we'll never ever be at a game that would end that crazily and that would be on that huge of a stage. And it was ironic that the following year that we were all able to have them play in one and be a part of that. But I'm digressing. Anyway, so when I moved to Boise, I spent that year, I had some contacts there within the athletic department of Boise State. So I assisted them in game operations and facilities and some media relations support as well, because they were preparing for this Fiesta Bowl, along with the, then it was the MPC Computers Bowl, now the famous Idaho Potato Bowl in Boise. Yeah. They had lots of things going on, so they needed some extra help, and I was happy to do it. I loved my time there, I loved the people there, but unfortunately the opportunity was only temporary, and I was getting myself to the point where I wanted something more permanent, and I really wanted to launch my career. I know that I had some stability someplace, and so I continued to apply places and keep my eyes open, and I decided that in order to put myself in a position to be more marketable, I needed to probably go to grad school. So I took my GRE, I applied, and then I was accepted to the Master's of Education in Intercollegiate Athletic Leadership Program at the University of Washington, which I talked about before, which is a year-long program there. It included a full summer of classwork, and that was half of your credit requirements. So I was in Seattle for 8 weeks, in the classroom for 40 hours a week with about 20 others who are now some of my very best friends who I lean on to this day to get into this field. And then another core component of that program was to find some sort of internship credit to get some real-world experience to apply to the program. And ironically enough, the opportunity that I did not receive with the Mountain West the summer prior had opened up again. The other finalists didn't end up panning out as well as they had liked it to. And so I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to throw my name in the ring again. I went all through the interview process and kind of took the risk to make it known that was something I was passionate about. It was a place I wanted to get myself in. And I was offered the job. So I started here, actually ended school on a Friday in August in Seattle during that summer. On a Friday, I drove home to Elko, Nevada on Saturday. My mom and I drove out to Colorado that following Tuesday, and I was in the office that Wednesday. And I've been here ever since. So that role, of course, started as a webmaster role. And as we'll get into here, is where Champions definitely grown and expanded and has changed. But really fortunate to still be here on the team. I can't believe it'll be 8 years and have been through a whole lot here. But really, really fortunate for that. I've been really fortunate for my patience and my perseverance. As part of that too, I think a big lesson for folks who want to get into this field is to still have confidence, but to really examine things and to have the cognizance to reflect on what skills you have, to be flexible enough to try new opportunities that may be in other areas you may not have as much interest in, to see if that's something that fits. I think it makes you a better leader that way. Mm-hmm. Then to really push through and to continue to pursue the things that you really have passion for, because things happen the way that they're supposed to. And I firmly believe that had I received the role with the Mountain West the first time, I for sure wouldn't have my master's degree at this point, and have my relationship with the folks there and help teach there. And I probably wouldn't have the experience I have now. It would probably be a totally different story for me had it worked out the way at that time I had hoped. It's my story, and it's long-winded, but it's definitely something that I'm proud of.
And you may not have been able to attend two of the most exciting college football games maybe of all time.
No question. I'm definitely grateful for those opportunities, too.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that story. That's really great. And I think there's a lot to be learned from that. And, you know, obviously the stuff that you spoke to of being aware of your strengths and weaknesses and not taking rejection as an excuse to feel bad about yourself, but an excuse to look at what skills you're missing and go out and get the skills that you need going to grad school. I did want to ask as well, I also want to point out the fact that you were involved from day one. As soon as you realized this is what I want to do, whether it was in high school and college, that you found different ways to get involved, whether it was writing or getting involved in the trenches, doing some of the grunt work. I know our mutual friend Chris Yandel always says, don't be above the job, always, you know, be willing and able to do everything, and that was something that you embraced early on. I did want to ask also, though, about the decision to go to grad school. I know it's something that a lot of students in sports business, sports media face. Mm-hmm. What kind of dictated the decision to go for the type of master's you did? You hear a lot about, you know, master's degrees in journalism, going for sport MBAs. You went more education, master's education route. What dictated that decision, and what do you think should go into play for others making similar decisions?
You know, I think it depends on a. It depended for me on a myriad of different reasons. What appealed to me mostly about that program at Washington specifically was that it was a degree in education, but that it was focused in intercollegiate athletics at its core. I am a sports fan from amateur to professional through and through, but there's something about college sport that really has me intrigued in the balance of student versus athlete, and all of that stuff, which we could have a whole other episode just talking about that. That key focus in the degree program at Washington is kind of unique to it, and that's what drew me to that specifically. And it's in the education program because of that intercollegiate athletic component to it. I will also admit to you, though, that I am kind of a bookworm and a lifelong student, and if the opportunity presented itself for me to get back in the classroom again and either get an MBA or work on a PhD, I think that would be something that I'm definitely open to. I'm always kind of fascinated in learning, and I think that's something, as we'll talk through here, that I really embrace and appreciate in social and in digital and sports specifically, because there's so many opportunities to learn and to do case studies to see what's working for folks or what's not working for folks. So that's kind of how I decided on that program in particular. I also really liked the fact that it was a year-long degree program as opposed to two. I wasn't sure, because I was looking for something more stable and more permanent. I wasn't sure that how I felt about committing myself to a more traditional two-year graduate program. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I would have been just as happy in one, but I liked the way that the format of that program at Washington was. And then I've lived all across the West Coast. I am certainly open to living in the East Coast, living in the South, living in the Midwest, but it was close to my family, so it felt like something that made sense financially as well. For me to stay out west to get that degree. So all sorts of different components. It kind of depends on what folks have interest in. I do know that this program at Washington, and I'm happy to, if anybody's listening and they want to reach out afterward and get some information either on this program, but the University of Washington also has, throughout their Center for Leadership in Athletics, also has a coaching master's program, which is kind of new too, for those folks who are interested in doing that. So I think more and more the higher education field has grown and evolved and has really found some ways for niche studies. I was just looking at some stuff the other day that my undergraduate program at Nevada is now offering social media classes that I would have never, ever would have imagined. When I was on MySpace, when I was in college, that being something that someone could get their degree in. So I think that there's great opportunity out there for some really great learning. I know some folks, grad school may not be for them, but for me, it seemed to make the most sense, and I wouldn't change it for anything. And like I said, if I could get another start another degree program tomorrow, I probably would do it.
All right, great. Well, let's jump ahead to getting your career started. You said obviously you came up doing a lot of writing, but being involved really in PR at all levels and then some. You came in as a webmaster with Mountain West, you said, and so tell us a little about how that has evolved from just, you know, overseeing the website to now overseeing a digital empire, and how social comes into play as well, and how that sort of started out from day one and grew to today.
Right. So I, as I mentioned, I was hired here as a webmaster, and that role was part of the communications and media relations team here at the Mountain West. And because of my background at Nevada, at UC State, handling some media and with the Pac-10, handling some media responsibilities there, my role, starting as a webmaster, grew from strictly focusing on a website to handling a couple sports. I've done some softball. I've done some swimming and diving here. Right now, I'm a secondary contact for Mountain West football, and then I also serve as the contact for Mountain West women's golf. So I still have some involvement there in terms of media relations. And Neil and I spoke in the green room earlier today about how we started social here in the Mountain West. Just a brief story. The Mountain West, actually, I was always of the impression that social was going to be something that was really going to hit brands. Just knowing how quickly things were growing on a personal level, like I mentioned before with MySpace then, and Facebook grew soon after that. Mm-hmm. So I was always kind of pushing our senior leadership team here to maybe explore the possibility of having a brand presence on social media platforms. And got some pushback for that. It's kind of scary, the great unknown. It maybe still even be scary to some here, but got some pushback for that until after Utah played in the Sugar Bowl against Alabama in 2009. We came back, we regrouped on what our goals were for the following calendar year, and Commissioner Thompson had read an article in USA Today about brand presences on Facebook and kind of asked, you know, I think this is something that we ought to do, that the Mountain West ought to do, and this may be the time for us to do it, which was the go-ahead that I needed. And because of my responsibility as webmaster, it made the most sense to the staff here to have social kind of fall on that plate as more of digital communications as opposed to traditional communications. And so we started with one Facebook page that grew from a Facebook page to a Twitter feed, a primary Twitter feed, and we've now grown that. We've got a primary Twitter feed that focuses on football, and then our general Mountain West news and shares some of the news from our other accounts. And then we've got a men's basketball specific feed, a women's basketball specific feed, and then an Olympic sports feed for those followers that may have interest in more of those niche sports as opposed to being hammered with information about other sports they may not have so much interest in. And then we've got a presence on YouTube and on Instagram as well, which we'll get into a little bit as we talk about the Mountain West Network.
Hey, Katie, before we move on, I just want to know, at this point in the game, as the Mountain West was evolving all these digital properties, uh-huh. where were the schools at this point? Was the Mountain West kind of the first to dip their toes in, or was it you guys really taking the lead of the conference schools itself?
You know, it seemed we worked in parallel together in terms of timing on how all that worked out. It was such a mad scramble to figure out a way to get a presence and what your voice is going to sound like and what sort of things you're going to post and what's your strategy, that we all kind of, it was a scramble mode. So it was, we like to talk a lot about here, and we do this with lots of different areas, about building the plane while you're flying it. So there was a lot of figuring things out on the fly and meanwhile developing the strategy while you're doing that, just for the sheer amount of resources we have and talent that we have here to get those things done. On each of our campuses, the responsibilities of social kind of vary, and I would think that this is a theme throughout college athletics on where those responsibilities lie. Some institutions have that responsibility fall on the SID office, some have it on the marketing office, and others are finally getting to the point where they're focusing strictly on having a social media department or at least a digital department that handles some of those things. So the Mountain West member institutions kind of span all of those. Mm-hmm. And so it's continuing to be an ongoing conversation with us on how we manage all of those folks and how we get everyone on the same page and work together on messaging. And one goal I have for 2015 is to expand that even further, and to really have open dialogue league-wide with folks. I spend a lot of my time maybe doing one-off conversations or a couple folks from a couple schools, but really having the whole league together on building some strategies and some promotions and things that we can do to help build the Mountain West brand. That's definitely a goal of ours. But yeah, so it kind of happened all around the same amount of time. And quite frankly, it feels like, even though that was only 4 or 5 years ago, it feels like much longer because things have changed so much that I very well could be forgetting, too.
What were some of the goals early on? I mean, whether you're looking at from the individual member schools using digital and social, as well as at the conference level, I mean, how were you sort of selling the success of what you guys are doing to your superiors, your colleagues, saying, here's what we're accomplishing. We're growing our fan base. We're driving more engagement. We're driving more web traffic. Maybe driving more tune in to content.
Yeah.
How are some of those key performance indicators looking early on, and how have they evolved maybe today?
So we, one of our key goals from day one has been to really build the camaraderie amongst the Mountain West. With the exception of perhaps the American, which of course grew from the Big East and that split there, we're arguably the youngest conference at the FBS level. We're only 16 years old. And so building camaraderie and helping level the playing field a little bit to some of those higher resource conferences, you know, we always talk about here about, you know, bowl games or other things that you'll often hear SEC chants for some of their contests or things like that. And so our team has always kind of felt that social can help the Mountain West get there and really build that league camaraderie and that identification with the Mountain West and its brand. And then also kind of build some friendly competition and healthy competition around it too. It's always been a goal of ours to have people engage and chat and talk, particularly as it comes to the heat of some conference seasons and really paying attention to the longstanding rivalries we've got in the league and some of the traditions that we have. But then also helping that so that we put our champions for each of our sports in the best position possible to succeed in the postseason, whether that's bowl games or NCAA championships. So we see social as a huge component of that. We've been really fortunate with the latest initiative that we have in the Mountain West Network to drive that even further. And I guess as a little bit of background on that, so the Mountain West was actually the first conference before the Big Ten, before the Pac-12, before the SEC to have its own television network dedicated to the conference itself. It was called The Mountain. It started in 2006. It was a joint venture by CBS College Sports at that time, which is now CBS Sports Network, and NBC, which is now Xfinity, of course. And so we had some great success there. We had some really great coverage and content on linear television of our Olympic sports and on those sports that weren't covered in our national television packages with, at that time, CBS and NBC. But as conference realignment started and teams started coming and going and figuring out the landscape of the industry at that time, and compiling that with the relationship that CBS and NBC had at that time with each other as competitors and really within this joint venture of the Mountain, that network was actually closed, but it provided a great opportunity for us as part of the network when it was running on linear television. It limited our ability to provide digital video because of the rights agreements and the distribution channels that we were trying to reach at that point with linear TV. So once the Mountain closed, the opportunity for having digital video really came back to light. And we're trying to help fill the void a little bit. So I was doing, you know, some flip cam videos and media days, shooting some stuff off an iPad, which was kind of low budget, not the greatest part, but at least so that we had some sort of presence on our YouTube channel and within our video platform on our website. But with that opportunity of the mountain closing and a new dedication toward digital video, we were fortunate enough to start what's now the Mountain West Network. It's all digital. It's all free for consumers to access. You can watch on our website. You can watch on our partner's website at campusinsiders.com and on each of our member institutions' websites. And that goes for home and away contests that are produced on those campuses.
Those are monetized in some way, even though it's presented free subscription.
Yeah, so we don't have a paywall, so it's free for folks to consume. And as part of the way to monetize that, which is a real key goal for us heading into the second half of year two of the endeavor, we signed on with our partner Volar Video. They provided the technical support and the software packages for folks to switch and broadcast and produce these broadcasts. Rather than rolling in a television truck or hauling a huge TriCaster into an arena to broadcast a game, the Volar solution is cloud-based and software-based, so you can switch four cameras in your computer that way. But then it also provides a mid-roll solution that is also cloud-based. So we're really fortunate with them. They've got some great tools to allow us to have mid-roll, but mid-roll that is not burnt into the broadcast. So the inventory is broadened in that respect because if you are watching a San Diego State, New Mexico men's basketball game today, you could watch a commercial for, oh, I don't know, like a 2015 Ford truck. If you were to go back to the archives in October, November, to watch that San Diego State, New Mexico men's basketball game, at that same ad break, you could perhaps watch an ad for a 2016 Ford truck or Chevy, because it's all cloud-based in that respect. excuse me. So that provides us with almost infinite possibilities on the inventory that we can monetize, and that's a huge focus for us moving forward. Is now that we've got the infrastructure built, we've got the institutions producing their own stuff using this Volar solution, and we've got the distribution arm with our partnership with Campus Insiders and Silver Chalice. Now's the time for us to really focus on the monetization of it.
And to stay on that, theoretically, you guys are pretty well set then, looking at the future. As we predict, you know, over the top and set top televisions and cord cutting coming to play, it seems that the Mountain West is well set to evolve and adapt quickly to that environment.
Yeah, you know, we're hoping that we're a little bit on the forefront of that. Another key goal for us is to extend the reach of the Mountain West Network to other over the top connected devices. So right now we have a presence within Campus Insiders Apple TV channel, but we want to take that to Roku and Chromecast and all of the other connected devices out there, and extend even more so on mobile. We're also working in the short term on transitioning the MW.com, the conference's website, to a responsive website. So that will shift and adjust depending on the browser that you're using to consume it with. So that will help streamline our practices too, rather than having a mobile-only version of the website and a desktop version. We'll just have that responsive version. I think that will work really great in making it truly responsive. We've got some great partners with Sports Labs that are helping us do that. And then really also capitalizing on our mobile applications. We've got our live components within our iOS and our Android apps, and are always trying to keep tabs on what other platforms and operating systems we need to build some apps for, just so that we can continue to extend the reach and build the audience for the network, and in turn for the league as a whole.
Most certainly. And speaking of reach and audience, obviously you look at any conference, really, Mountain West being no exception, where you have a few schools that, when you think Mountain West, that these ones jump to your head. You might think of you know, Boise State or San Diego State, their success in basketball, Boise State, their success in football, going back a little further, maybe Fresno State as well. So how do you, as someone sitting at the helm at the conference level, really go about showing that you are doing your best to promote the conference and its
right.
top performing schools, but not at the expense of, saying, forgetting about the Wyoming and the Colorado State or, you know, the other, say, schools that aren't as much in the spotlight? Like, if you're at a press conference that's introducing Brian Harsin, for example, to coach Boise State, how do you not say, okay, this is all about Boise State, or you know, this should be Boise State's territory? The Mountain West should be focusing on schools with fewer resources that need more help in the spotlight.
Right. It's most certainly a difficult balance. I think that gets even more exacerbated because there are some, albeit few, there are some Mountain West fans out there, but more likely than not, fans are fans of their institution more than they would be of the conference that they're in. So being able to serve all of those in a positive manner and with a unified voice and to really promote the objective of all of the institutions is always a difficult balance, but it's something that I get energized by. We're always having conversations on ways that we can be better at it, because it's really trial and error. And focusing on some of the successes, we really capitalize and focus a lot of our time. We have been fortunate and have had some great success in some signature non-conference wins across all Mountain West sports. So building the Mountain West brand that way, and look at, you know, UNLV defeating Arizona when they were number 3 a couple weeks ago in men's basketball was a big one for us. Of course, the Fiesta Bowl was a great one for us in last week. So focusing on those things that not only help those institutions but the league as a whole, I think are things that we focus on for sure. And then also telling those stories, if there are programs that are struggling, on the court or on the field, telling some of those backstories on obstacles that student athletes have overcome, or folks that have Rhodes Scholars, or what makes an institution unique compared to some others. We've got some great opportunity to do that for folks to tell their stories. I think the network even gives us an extension of that beyond social. But always focusing and making sure that we've got to strike a balance between being equitable, making sure that all 18 sports and all 12 member institutions, and really 13 if you count Colorado College and women's soccer, giving them all of their chance in the limelight, while picking the successes out and not making anybody feel slighted. And I think that's part of that strategy has been and part of our Twitter strategy, and having focused sports specific accounts for folks that may not have interest in if Boise State's winning a Fiesta Bowl, and they only care about, you know, Wyoming's women's basketball game. They've got a women's basketball account that they can follow in that regard. So we're always trying to find ways to promote it as a whole without, like I say, without making anyone feel slighted, and to really be positive and to build the brand awareness of the conference. That's been something that that as a result of conference realignment, it's been you know, a little bit of a challenge, but a great opportunity for us as well to really capitalize on what the Mountain West is, who comprises the Mountain West, and what we stand
for. You mean TCU and Utah aren't in the Mountain West anymore?
Or that we're not the WAC. That's been another, you know, had to figure out how to navigate. But also, though, having the recognition of some of the successes when some of those schools were part of the league.
Right.
You know, we were the first. The Mountain West was the first conference to have a team win an automatic quantum. To have a non-AQ team earn an automatic qualification and win a BCS bowl game, and that was Utah in the 2004 Fiesta Bowl, and we're proud of that. And so trying to figure out some of those historical things, too, on well, why are you promoting, you know, institutions that are no longer in your league? That's part of the Mountain West. That's part of who we are and got us to where we are today. So like I say, it's a constant battle, and trying to find creative ways to do that. Is always a challenge, but it's always great fun.
Oh yeah, especially when you're speaking to an alumni basis who may not even recognize the current constituency, right, as it was when they were going to school.
Right, and that's part. I think that's part of what we rely on social on here is to build that identity and use social to, when we do have those great successes, for people to associate, like, oh, okay, well, I understand now that Colorado State is in the Mountain West and they're not in another conference, or I understand that San Jose State's part of the league. I think that helps us because of the efficiency that it provides, the effectiveness and the reach that it has, and the resources that we have compared to some of the other higher resources leagues or higher resource leagues. I think that social provides us that opportunity that we may not otherwise have.
Oh, that's great. Well, a couple minutes left here with Katie Cavender, assistant director of communications, strategic communications with the Mountain West Conference, and just a couple minutes left here before we get to the episode's shareable stat. I did want to follow up on that, actually. Speaking of sort of disparity across the conferences and looking at sort of how you guys operate at, in the so-called non-Power 5 conference, how much is there sort of looking at staying on top of that conversation of, yes, we're not the SEC, we're not the Big Ten or the Big 12 necessarily, but we're at the top of where we're at, and you know that's something to be proud of, something to capitalize on. Also, maybe opens up a little bit of competition with the WACs of the world, the Missouri Valleys, that try to make their name a little more known. How much sort of collaboration is there among the non-Power 5, Group of 5 conferences, and how much is there a little friendly competition as well?
I have always been of the impression that social has offered the opportunity for professionals, not only amongst our competitors, but across other parts of the industry, whether it's professional sports or corporate brands, to really open doors and share and reflect and provide case study on successes and on not-so-successes. It's really, I've got some great relationships with folks at other leagues. I'm in constant communication with Derek Dockett at the Missouri Valley and Mark Hoshkin at the American. You know, sharing ideas and bouncing things off with each other. Jeff Toriel at the West Coast Conference is another resource that I lean on heavily. So I think social really helps take those barriers down a little bit. I think the immediacy of it, the commonality of all of our interests, and really the personal touches that we have in our own personal brands on those channels really help kind of build those walls down. But then it also helps, you know, with some of the higher resource conferences. Just the same with the contacts that I have at some of those Group of Five or you know, FCS level leagues. I've got those with the higher resource leagues too, mm-hmm. With folks of the Big 12 and the Big 10 and the Pac-12. It's just constantly learning from folks' examples, seeing what they're doing when the opportunity arises for them. I know one thing that I'll be spending all of my weekend and through, you know, next Tuesday, Wednesday on is following what Ohio State and Oregon and the Big 10 and the Pac-10 and really mm-hmm. the Pac-12 and Pac-12 networks and Big Ten networks are going to be doing on a digital and social basis, because when the opportunity presents itself for the Mountain West to be in that position, we can learn on some of those experiences and help make determination on what things worked for them, which things didn't, and which things that we can apply in our own instance.
Oh, certainly. And the last thing I wanted to ask about before we get on to the shareable stat, Katie, is really how you guys have sought to monetize digital in general throughout the years, and how it might change or how it's remained the same when you look at mobilizing partners, whether it's with the Mountain West as a conference and the assets that you own, or maybe other partners that are more interested in being aligned with certain schools only or certain areas only. I mean, there's so many different ways you can go with, whether it's e-commerce, being on some of the video streaming, merchandise, attaching yourself to one school. I mean, obviously you have the component of the IMG Learfields in there as well, looking at owning properties. So really, how does it all work with valuing the digital and social assets that the Mountain West and schools are sitting on, and then how you go about selling them and maximizing the value?
That is something that we talk about almost on a daily basis. It's something that I think we're still trying to wrap our heads around on okay, we can measure audience and we can measure reach and we can measure engagement, but then how does that translate into actual tangible dollar amounts? The Mountain West actually, as part of the changing of conference realignment, we were able to renegotiate our television contracts, and we were also able to renegotiate our marketing and rights contracts back. CBS had previously held those, and we were able to recover those so that we could sell and monetize and do some things with these new platforms. And so as part of that, we have signed on as a league with Learfield. We've got Mountain West Sports Properties folks with Learfield here in the same building. They're just right downstairs from our suite here, who we talk with on a constant basis. And several of our schools, I'd like to say 8 or 9 of them, are Learfield institutions. So our Learfield folks have troops on the ground on each of our campuses, at the institutional Learfield folks. And then the other component of that is our Campus Insiders relationship, which is a joint venture between Silver Chalice and IMG. They're owned by IMG, and IMG sells for them, and IMG holds the rights for the other Mountain West leagues. And so having them as a resource to help us all get together and work as a team to sell and to monetize and to really conceptualize on what brand affinities we'd like to have included and what sponsors we'd like to align ourselves with, and really taking it beyond slapping logos on things, but really, really being cognizant about that and having some smart ways for us to get that included. One key example of that, I would say, is our relationship that we had with Sports Authority for the Mountain West Football Championship this last year. They were our title sponsor, and we were able to deliver some things within game, within digital, that was above and beyond what they even expected, and they really, really responded to that quite well. And particularly since they're a local company, they're out of Denver. So we align with them quite well there. People, they're a sports organization. It was holiday time around the championship, so it all made a lot of sense. And just identifying those folks that want to be aligned with the Mountain West, and that can help us get our brand out there, is definitely a key initiative for us as we head into the second half of the second year of the Mountain West Network, and then taking that even further into selling social and selling digital too.
Oh, I love that. Sounds like a great activation. And it sounds like you guys are having the conversations that need to be had right now. That's great to hear. Well, Katie, we could literally talk your ear off all day. I have so many more questions I could ask you, but we're going to come right back and have a little fun in our confab with Katie section, some quick hitting questions. But first, let's get this episode's shareable stat coming right at you right now.
Really enjoy talking to Katie. She is very personable, great personality, really well-spoken, really knowledgeable, and I could have talked to her all day, all night. Still have a ton of questions I have for her, but we'll have a little bit of fun with Katie coming up shortly in our Confab with Katie segment. Some fun, quick-hitting questions to get a little deeper with Katie and some things, and also have a little fun with her. But before we get to our Confab with Katie segment, we have this episode's shareable stat. And this episode's shareable stat is all about dark social, meaning the sharing of content that takes place off the major social networks, whether it's via email, via text, via personal message, or via direct messaging across platforms. So it's something that is becoming increasingly bigger in the social media world, because it's easy to track Facebook shares, Twitter retweets, and click-throughs and the like, but when it's happening in the dark, via a personal email, for example, it's really hard to track. And in fact, this episode's shareable stat speaks to that. In a worldwide poll of internet users conducted by a firm called Radium One, they found that 93% of those worldwide internet users have used dark social at least once in the past month to share content. And this was a poll conducted in November 2014. 93% of those polled who are among worldwide internet users have used Dark Social at least once, if not more, in the past month to share content. So what can you do with that as a marketer? Well, for one thing, being able to provide a referral incentive is of utmost concern, because then you'll have a better way to find out who is actually sharing the content and whose sharing is actually affecting conversions and reaching more fans that you want to reach for your content. Another thing you can do is get even more granular and smarter with your URL deep links. Really get smart with those campaign attachments so that even if someone is copying and pasting that link into an email or into a text message, it is still trackable and you can figure out where that traffic is coming from. Especially if you do a good enough job of making it different from your social media links, from your general links that you're sending in a campaign email. So really, as much work as it might seem at times, get deeper and deeper with those URLs and get the information that you need so you can track all those dark social shares. Lastly, don't be afraid to encourage it. It can be frustrating not to know whether your instructions or your encouraging thoughts to your viewers are going unheard, but if you can just remind them to share the link with their friends, share the link with their friends and family, whether it's via email, text, or on the major social platforms, it's still getting shared. And since much of the most trusted shares are happening at the one-to-one level and via word of mouth, it can still be a highly effective marketing tactic. Even if you lose out a little bit on the virality of social platforms, you get to reach those people who aren't necessarily posting on social platforms, but are still powerful advocates for your content. So there you have it. Lots to ponder about it. 93% of worldwide internet users polled by Radium 1 have used Dark Social to share content at least once in the past month. All right, hope you think hard about this episode's shareable stat, and we're going to have a little fun coming up shortly in our Confab with Katie segment as we get to learn more with Katie Cavender, Assistant Director for Strategic Communications for the Mountain West Conference. We'll be right back with Katie.
All right, welcome back. That was this episode's shareable stat, and it's a little bit about dark social. In fact, the study showed that 93% of those polled have used dark social, meaning email, one-to-one messaging, texting, etc., in the last month, at least once, to share content. Katie, what are your thoughts on dark social?
You know, I think it's really interesting. I would be really interested to see on how this trend starts getting applied by brands to share content. I think there's some great opportunity for folks to think about how to make their content social so that their followers are sharing it as dark social, but taking it one step further to see if brands will start capitalizing on that. There's such great opportunity for one-on-one connection there, and I would be really intrigued if brands do get themselves in the business of using dark show social to share content on how that translates specifically in college athletics as it pertains to recruitment and fundraising. I think that could be really interesting, but then in turn it will be fascinating to see how that also affects NCAA regulation for both of those areas.
Well, definitely a fascinating place to watch, whether you talk about the growing importance of one-on-one messaging, but also the growing presence of, say, programmatic messaging.
Right.
You have to find that happy medium where you don't have enough people in the world to one-on-one message every single fan out there, but you also don't want to go the other direction and make it all programmatic so you have automated responses as well and take away that human element.
Yep, no question.
Right, Katie, well, we had a great talk with you earlier. You survived your interview. Are you ready now to confab with Katie?
Hit me hard.
Let's have a little fun. All right, number one for you. The biggest success or most memorable promotion or campaign you've worked on in your tenure with the Mountain West Conference?
Oh my gosh, there are so many.
And don't you take credit for the hook and ladder roll in Statue of Liberty play in Boise State's football game.
The Statue of Liberty. There are so many. I'll run through just a couple real quick. Of course, on most recent memory, we've had some super great success during the Vizio Fiesta Bowl last week with Boise State's 38-30 win over Arizona. Our Instagram audience, our followers on Instagram, increased by 46% within that week alone. Super, super, wow. Super proud of that. Some other things that may not be as as shiny, maybe, is that, and as new, that we've done that I'm super proud of. A little bit of fun thing that we did is Boys to Men sang the national anthem for our basketball championship a couple of years ago. That has been a huge success on our YouTube channel. Whether it be folks searching for Mountain West basketball or folks searching for Boys to Men, either way, that was a super fun thing to work on. Maybe a little more retrospective thing that was great to work on. Over the summer, we were sad to have lost former San Diego State great student-athlete and coach Tony Gwynn. So we worked on some promotions and some campaigns to have folks share their memories of Tony Gwynn and what Tony meant to them, either as a fan or as if they knew him personally, which I'm super proud of, and that has translated into the Mountain West baseball coaches have decided to name their Player of the Year award after Tony, and so we're working on some details on that. That I'm super excited about to honor him because he was great to the Mountain West. He was great to me personally. We really miss him. He meant a lot to the industry, to the sport, and to the league. And then the other thing I would say, too, is in 2012, the Mountain West Network and I were able to join Boise State on their trip to Opportunity Village during their trip to the Las Vegas Bowl. Excuse me. this is a great facility in Las Vegas that helps folks with mental disability with some real life skill and some it's a great facility. I really encourage you folks to look into that if you're looking for some community service. And so we had the opportunity to follow Boise State and their engagement in that activity as part of their bowl experience, and it was such a memory maker for me. There were a couple folks within Opportunity Village that latched on to the Boise State players and had some really great interactions. The one that I remember the most is there's an offensive lineman. His name is Faraji. There was a young man who works at Opportunity Village, and he met this football player, and the two of them together started rapping Eminem lyrics with each other, It's just great. It's great video. It's great messaging. It's great human interest. It's something that I will remember forever. It's one of my most famous memories, whether social or not, since I've been here with the Mountain West, for sure.
Oh, that's great. Just some great memory makers there, for sure. And number two for you might be somewhat similar, but how about looking at the Mountain West schools themselves? What's the coolest digital or social promotion that you've seen a member institution do while you've been with Mountain West?
There have been so many. A couple most recent ones. I was really fortunate to help Colorado State this past football season brainstorm some of their promotional ideas to promote their wide receiver, Rashard Higgins, who was a finalist for the Blitnikoff Award. Mm-hmm. His nickname is Hollywood Higgins, and so I helped them figure out some ways to promote him. So we did some cool graphic things with Hollywood Hills, with the sign, and then also did some really cool Hollywood Walk of Fame things that we're pretty proud of. The other really cool thing that is of recent memory for me, San Diego State is always, always, always on the forefront of social. I'm really proud of the work that Christian De Leon and Darren Wong and everyone else does there. Over this last fall during homecoming, they did some Banksy-style graffiti art across town that was called Aztecs Ignite the Night. They're super cool. I encourage everybody to Google that and see what this artwork looks like that were really creative, just started as social media graphics that Christian De Leon put together with them. They even did one for the women's soccer team after they won their third straight Mountain West tournament, and it was great branding for us because it included the Mountain West trophy. And I think it worked really great, not only on a local level and building buzz for their homecoming activities, but it got a lot of buzz nationally too. It was fun to see some of, you know, my favorite bloggers and thought leaders within the space talking about the cool stuff San Diego State was doing. So that was super fun. And then I keep hoping and praying that my friends at UNLV or Fresno State will someday do a take on Sharknado to honor Coach Jerry Tarkanian. So far, no one's biting on that. But
pun intended. No one's biting on a towel.
Intended. But tongue in cheek. That's something that we tease about a lot. Their folks. But yeah, our folks are doing such great stuff. I'm really proud of. proud of the Mountain West and our member institutions and the stuff we do in digital. It's pretty fun to be a part of.
Yeah.
I do remember that San Diego State promotion. That was a lot of fun to follow.
Yeah.
Number three for you, Katie. The sport that has grown in relative popularity the most since you started with Mountain West.
I would say this may be... Some folks may consider this a cop-out. They may not. Our league has always found pride in our football success, but it seems like the national prominence of Mountain West men's basketball has grown exponentially since I joined in 2007. It seems like we're always now talking about ways we can make the basketball championships better in Las Vegas. Our semifinals and our finals for the tournament are some of our most engaged on our social platforms, and that's something that I've really seen grow and expand upon as my time here continues with the Mountain West for sure.
Excellent. And the secret no one talks about is that oftentimes it's the Mountain West who's getting more teams in the tournament than the SECs of the world.
No question. We've got our fingers crossed this year. We've definitely got a little bit more competitive stuff going on amongst our standings, but it's going to be a fun winter, that's for sure.
Most definitely. All right, looking at the member schools of the Mountain West, what is the most unusual tradition?
Oh, man. I'm not sure unusual is the right adjective because all of our schools are so diverse. Our fans are so passionate. But some things that come to mind, you know, the Air Force Academy has so much pageantry around it. With the military components, it's really unparalleled. And the support that the other member institutions have when they visit Air Force for standing for the alma mater and honoring our troops is really super to see. And I mentioned before, so our league's only 16 years old, but we're really fortunate to have some longstanding rivalries here in the league that have faced each other for 100 years, like the border war between Wyoming and Colorado State, which is actually, fun fact, the oldest interstate rivalry west of the Mississippi River, which we're pretty proud of. That may be one of my absolute favorite traditions. And one thing that they do, they started this in 1968. The ROTC of the visiting team actually runs the game ball to the Wyoming-Colorado border. And the ROTC from the home team gets the ball and runs it to the stadium the Friday before the day that they play. And if anybody is familiar with the terrain and the climate in Wyoming and Colorado, you will know that it's not really a small feat for them to actually run the game ball from Laramie to Fort Collins or vice versa. So that's something that is pretty fun that folks may not be very well aware of.
Ooh, that is some dedication. I love hearing that. All right, Katie, you recently won a regional Emmy Award for your work with Mountain West Conference, which is just fantastic and well deserved. So tell us about the award and the experience.
You know, it's still baffling that I've got, like, the thought of having an Emmy and now the sight of one on my shelf is completely blows my mind. I'm so fortunate to be part of it. My teammates and I were recognized for the technical achievement for the network as a whole, which I think is even more rewarding that it wasn't a specific campaign or specific production that we did, but it was for the technical achievement of the network that we were super proud of. To be in that room with television professionals all over the place, and, you know, I kind of felt like just the geek who was behind her computer all the time. To be recognized in that regard with that level of professionals was something that was super reflective for me, and we're really proud of the stuff we've done. In 2013-14 alone, we had over 15.1 million viewers from over 130 countries watch our content.
Wow.
It's huge. It's really huge, particularly for a league from the Group of Five. I don't think that's a small feat. And to be recognized for doing that amongst linear television, I mean, like I said, it blows my mind. It's unreal. I still don't believe it.
it's incredible. And, you know, I hope you look at the Emmy on the shelf and know that you guys deserve it. And clearly you work hard to keep at it every day still, too. All right, number six for you, Katie. Obviously, you look at the sports and communications world. There are still a lot of male domination across the board. Where you talked about some of the folks at other conferences, a lot of them are men. There's still a lot of women out there too coming up in the game. So tell us a little quickly about being a female in the sports and communications world, how it's shaped your career and perspective, and if it has.
You know, I'm not sure that gender has played. I'm probably pretty fortunate in that gender has probably not played as much of a factor in my career as maybe my age has. Like I said before, I was really, really, really lucky during my undergraduate years to really get some tangible, hands-on, real-world experience at the University of Nevada, and then went on with those other stops at the Pac-10 and Boise State. And so I felt like I had a lot more years on me than just being 24 when I was hired full-time here at the Mountain West. And so that's been something that I think has played a little bit more of a factor than gender has. But at the same time, I don't think that it has been any hindrance at all. I'm really fortunate to say that. I'm grateful for it for sure.
That's really refreshing, great to hear, and a good way to encourage other females who might want to make a career in sports.
No question. It's all right,
number seven for you, Katie, in our confab with Katie, talking to Katie Kavner, Assistant Director of Strategic Communications with the Mountain West Conference. Which pro league or team best utilizes social and digital media, and why?
Oh my gosh, there are so many. I lean on some of the folks in pros for help all the time. Brian Srabian with the Giants has been completely awesome to me. Jeremy McPeak at the Phoenix Suns has also been totally super duper. There's countless others. Kenton Olsen with the Seahawks, Julie Fair with the Warriors, Megan Ryan and her awesome social vending machines that the Red Sox did over the holidays. I could seriously go on. There's so many out there. Really, really appreciate all of them.
I think just paying attention and watching it, what every team is doing out there, every day you find something else that makes you just go, wow, that's a great idea.
Right. And I'm always, you know, taking screenshots or making notes or whatever, like, oh, that's really cool. I want to have that in case, you know, that comes up or there's some sort of application that we can transition that to.
All right, and from one tough question to another, the coach and or Mountain West Conference student athlete that uses social and digital the best.
Oh my! This is really hard, really, really hard. I think I'll start with former Mountain West coaches. I will say that Tim Miles has been a trailblazer, capitalizing the power of social. He's probably become much more well known for how he uses social since he's been in Nebraska. But all of that started when he was at Colorado State from day one. He worked super great with the marketing folks there and the media relations folks there. So Tim Miles definitely is a former Mountain West coach. And then I will say the Mountain West football coaches in general have been super. And I think they have really used social as a way to get folks to feel like that they've got an inside access to their football programs. And then they've also used it great for recruiting. Brian Harsin at Boise State, Tim DeRuiter at Fresno State, Matt Wells at Utah State, and even Jim McElwain, who was at Colorado State before he just left for Florida. They've all done a tremendous job. And that's translated even to their assistant coaches and the rest of their staffs, too. They've really got a great reach, and it's fun to see the stuff they're doing.
Oh, great. And you know, speaking to what we talked about previously a little bit with the Mountain West kind of pioneering and helping to level the playing field by getting involved in those digital and social assets early on, I think you're seeing something play out similarly with the coaches. You may not be able to call in a private jet like John Calipari, but they definitely understand the value of, you know, being active on social and digital and being intentional on there.
No question at all.
All right, number nine for you, it's a fun one. We're getting to the end here. The best food you've had among the Mountain West Conference cities or schools?
That is probably just as tough. We have such great food cities across this league. I'm kind of a foodie, so this is really hard for me to answer. Green Chili in Albuquerque is super awesome. There's Basque food in Boise and Reno that's great. There's great seafood in San Jose and San Diego and Honolulu. And then we've got Las Vegas. I mean, Las Vegas is one of the greatest restaurant cities in our country.
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. We've got great places all around.
Oh, geez. Just make a bucket list to visit all the cities out there from the Mountain West and try food everywhere. All right, last one for you, Katie, to get you out on. This is a tough one. Your predictions for this year's men's basketball in the Mountain West, league champ and league player of the year.
You're going to do that to me, aren't you? I think our league in men's basketball is more wide open than it's ever been. Some schools are being super hampered by injuries. Other ones are rising to the occasion of conference play. We're only into the second week of conference play, and things are already not panning out the way people anticipated. So it's going to be really exciting. And all I'll tell you and all I'll say is that I hope that things will continue to be just as competitive as they are, if not more so. So we have a great buzzworthy championship week in Las Vegas. If folks want to join us in Las Vegas, this is a shameless plug, but check us out on themw.com/2015. We would love to have you there. It's a great event. Come join us.
Oh, I love it. What a great politically correct answer, too. All right, Katie, you survived your confab with Katie section. Now, your chance to take over the podcast briefly here. And tell us your social media all-star to follow. Someone out there on Twitter or a blog, who they are and why they're worth following.
Well, Neil, there's you, of course. You
I appreciate it.
Like I've mentioned before, you do a great job of keeping a pulse in the industry. Your podcast is a great resource. You're a great follow. There are just so many resources out there. I've said it again. I'll say it again and again and again, probably till I'm blue in the face. But this whole industry is so willing to take the walls down and to share and exchange ideas. Some of my favorites out there are Jessica Smith, Sunny Cadwalader, Russell Scabetti, Mark Burns, Jimmy Sanderson, Karen Freeberg. The list goes on and on and on. Chris Yandel, another. However, I will say, if you aren't following Kevin DeShazo and Fieldhouse Media, and particularly his Fieldhouse Leadership Project, I would recommend that to anyone, whether you're in digital or not. His service provides daily emails, thinking fresh ways about leadership and how to be more effective as a leader and in this space. They're really thought-provoking. They're really refreshing. And I would say it a million times that please go subscribe to Fieldhouse Leadership. It's definitely worth it. Kevin does a great job with that.
That is a great recommendation. Kevin DeShazo, a fantastic guy and a great resource and previous podcast guest as well. So really happy to hear you shout him out.
Yeah.
And how about yourself, Katie? Where can we find you and where can we find the Mountain West all across digital and social media?
So personally, I'm on Twitter at Katie Cavender, like lavender with the C. That's how you spell my last name. I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. In terms of the Mountain West, I mentioned we're on Twitter with our four accounts, but primarily it's at Mountain West. We're Mountain West Conference on Facebook and Instagram. And we're Mountain West Conf on YouTube, and you can find all of that information along with our social hub with links to all of our member institutions channels, all of their head coaches channels and accounts at themw.com.
Oh, fantastic. And I cannot thank you enough for joining us on the podcast today, Katie. I don't know how you found time to do it. I mean, I'm exhausted just hearing you talk about all the different roles that you have to play, all the responsibilities you have, and you do a fantastic job. I mean, you can't say it enough. The Mountain West is one of the most well-known conferences overall out there as a conference for a reason. And clearly they're lucky to have you there at the helm with a well-deserved Emmy as well now to show for it.
Well, thanks, Neil. Like I say, it's a true honor to be asked to join your show today and to chat. And I hope folks found this useful, and like I say, it only continues, and definitely the engagement on the channels and the conversation just starts. That's the beauty of the work we do, and thank you very much for being a key part of that.
Oh, I love it. It's been my pleasure, and we'll be rooting for Mountain West teams to be there in the Final Four and all over the place in sports as the rest of the season plays out here.
I like it a lot.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much again to Katie Cavender for joining us this evening on the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. I don't know how she has time for it all. The Mountain West has a constant growing presence with lots of digital and social activations going on. And they are just finished up football. They got basketball and tons of other sports in the winter in full swing. And Katie is doing a great job to make sure the Mountain West is helping all of its schools and really representing a strong brand for the conference as she spoke to. But that'll do it for this episode of the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. As always, thank you so much for listening. You can find more information on the podcast and get other content at dsmsports.net. And please get in touch with me. You can find me on Twitter at NJH287 or on LinkedIn. I'd love to hear from you. Love to know if you're listening, if you have any feedback, good or bad or constructive, whatever it may be, I want to hear it. All right, thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast.